So the first presentation is kind of one of the chapters and some work expanded on my dissertation research, and it's Burkott and material flow characterization and parameterization on a wire belt conveyor. So it was, again, kind of a cooperative project working. I was a Cotton Incorporated fellow, and to do a lot of the work, I need some of the specialty knowledge and tools and equipment and all that they had at the USDA ARS lab, the Gen Lab in Lubbock. So I kind of paired up with John when I first started working on this project way back in 2010, I guess, 2010-2011. So, and you see my co-authors, John, Randy Taylor, who's not here, and Randy Bowman, who's sitting in the room. So, kind of the same thing. You know, cotton fiber quality begins to degrade with the opening of the boll. Mechanical harvesting process just kind of aids in this, you know, they aid in the process, and they can also increase the level of farm matter. So that's where kind of stripper cotton, we see higher levels of farm matter because kind of the way the cotton's harvested. So unlike cotton pickers, which basically just remove the fiber from the plant, cotton pickers are using brushes and bats to basically pull everything off of that plant or strip everything from the plant. So we're pulling everything in there, and we get all that stuff incorporated in the fiber. So typically picker cotton has a higher micronair, lint strength, lower farm matter content and all that than stripper cotton. So we want to try to improve this stripper cotton and get it closer to the level of picker cotton so we're not getting discounted for it, because the majority of the cotton in the high plains of Texas and southern high plains of Oklahoma is harvested with a stripper. Mechanical conveyance can produce unique challenges, especially when it comes to agricultural products. So we're looking at trying to move non-uniform products, you know, across a system or within a system. So with that, we're looking at a harvester in this instance, and a harvester is expected to perform at an utmost level while harvesting in the field and have the utmost efficiency during harvest season. So if we're looking at a harvester and conveying something on a harvester, we don't want it to be backing up, clogging up. We don't want it to be degradating, you know, whatever product we're trying to move or destroying that product or anything of such. So some of the other papers I worked on in my dissertation, so Porter et al. 2012, 13 A and B, kind of investigated first off the individual cleaning and conveying components on a stripper harvester, and then we went from that to kind of picked a location that it looked like that maybe could be improved, and looked at the comparison of the cross auger and that Porter 2013 B cross auger compared to a wire belt conveyor. And so what I basically got out of that was there's not much difference between that wire belt conveyor and a cross auger from the standpoint of farm matter removal and fiber quality. You know, pretty baseline values. It just depended on what you were looking at. One may have been a little better than the other in one instance, and one a little better than the other in another instance. So I haven't fully optimized a wire belt conveyor per se. You know, I've worked on this about 3 years. And I'd imagine the cross auger and the machines had, you know, it's probably performing at its, you know, a pretty optimal level for what it does. So I would think with further work on a wire belt conveyor, we could make it actually better than the cross auger for handling this cotton and potentially preventing some entanglements to happen and stuff of the such. So this study kind of looks at starting some of the optimization processes of that. And we're just expanding and seeing, you know, what kind of effects a wire belt conveyor has on the burr cotton as we're transporting it across. And so what I wanted to do was document farm matter removal data and fiber quality data from different configurations of a wire belt conveyor. And so we're testing different wire belt configurations, including width, material depth, material flow rate, wire belt speed, and for all of those, we're basically looking at fiber quality and farm matter removal. So typical harvest scenario, basically what we did there, I'm harvesting at 3.5 miles an hour. I selected for this particular study two yields, which are equivalent to one bale and two bale per acre yield. So if you take that speed, look at that yield, I'm looking at a material flow rate that needs to move through that machine at approximately 0.3 and 0.6 kilograms of material per second. So that's how fast that belt needs to move. So if I know that, I can just basically go back. If I know the material depths that I wanted to set, so I'm looking at 1 and 7 inch material depths. I explored in between, but these are basically the ones I sent off for fiber quality analysis and all that. So I was looking at 50-something samples, and it was getting costly looking at aphids and HBI and everything for all of them. So I just took the extreme values for this study to see if there was really a difference. And then I looked at four belt widths, so basically 7 inches, 14 inches, 21, and 27. And all that is, currently the cross auger is approximately, that trough is approximately 13 inches wide. So I half that, and that was approximately half that. You know, I half that, then I did that. I did one, you know, added that to it, and then I went up to a 27. And I was going to go wider than that. I got really thinking about it. You get much wider than 27. I mean, 27 on a header of a machine is getting pretty wide, and so I didn't want to go. I thought about doing one closer to 40 inches, but I just stopped it at 27 and figured if there was that much of a difference between the, you know, the narrow one and the wide one, maybe we could explore further. But used all these parameters basically to calculate what speed my belt needed to travel at. So, you know, I guess I'm taking it for granted that we would do variable speeds in it, but what we're looking at is, you know, what's an optimal speed to get this material through? And if we do find there's optimal speeds for different variations, maybe we can look at some sort of flow sensor or something in the future to adjust the speed of this belt conveyor, you know, to match that as you're moving the cotton through, if you're changing yields or whatever. You know, we've not gotten that far, I'm speculating, but that's some, could be, you know, eventually adapted there. So this is just the speeds I ran it at. So looking at the combinations, you've got your two material depths, you got your belt widths there, and then there's your 0.3 and 0.6 material flow rates. The speeds highlighted in red, if you can't, they're basically either way too slow or way too fast to be feasible. So I bought a motor that was had a variable frequency drive on it, and it would do, and basically in the middle of it, it would run the speed that the cross auger runs right now, and it would like over double or triple the speed on the high end and lower the speed on the lower end. So these were, you look at 0.08, that is meters per second. Your 0.08 meters per second, that is very, very slow. So the motor basically wouldn't turn on. Same way with 0.1 meters per second. And then 4.11 meters per second, I calculated it one time, but that's screaming. Like, you know, that is absolutely hauling butt. So it was faster than what that motor would run, and I deemed it was a double or almost triple what the current cross auger runs, which I know I've got a guy, I think, from John Deere sitting in here, if he got a background on it, it's already moving so fast that it never really gets fully loaded. You know, it's, I think the conveyance capacity of that auger right now is at like 1,200 pounds per minute or something. We got it written down. It's like moves a lot. You know, it's a lot of cotton flying through. So basically, this is a belt that I used. It's just standard. You know, there's so many belt configurations you can pick out there, and that's what I mean by optimizing. I chose one, and I stuck with one throughout the entire project. And it's just, it looks just like almost a wire belt off of a fertilizer spreader or something of the such, you know, in the back that moves it. It's just basically an inch wide, so they're an inch long by a half inch, or whatever you want to say. They're one by a half inch, so a half inch wide, an inch long, those little chains are. And I kind of selected those because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, how big are cotton bowls? How big are a lot of the trash that comes through? I want the trash to have an opportunity to vibrate and fall out, but I want the cotton to stay on top. I don't want any of the cotton to fall through and get entangled or anything of the such. So I didn't explore another thing that someone's asked me before. In this project, I didn't explore different materials. I didn't explore anything. This was just a steel belt. Heavy as all get out. You know, if you want to fit it on a machine, I think you'd want to explore something different besides steel. But for the company I went through, it was cheaper for them to make a steel belt for me than to go looking at aluminum or looking at rubber or anything as such. For testing purposes, this was completely sufficient. I just built a test down in the laboratory that didn't have to perform on a machine. So basically what we did, you can see that divider here if I can, yeah, there we go. So this is just a top cap, basically, that I sat on my conveyor. The full width was 27 inches. Like I said, my shafts were a little longer, so I could have attached an additional belt to it, which I had, but like, as I stated earlier, I didn't. Top cap here that sat up that had guide rails on it. You can see where that had been milled out with a milling machine. And all I did was just had a divider in here. And so I could set this divider at the width that I wanted. So I could basically theoretically test infinite widths within that wire belt conveyor. And then these, they kind of got black bell marking painted on them. But we just put depth marks on it so we knew how deep we were going every time instead of measuring it. So we just put a cotton bat on it. We'd set the speed first, put the cotton bat on it, and then run it. So the sample would get weighed before we collect all the trash out of it. Weigh the trash, weigh the sample. You know, that's looking at percent removal. Then we take and gin the sample and go from there. So we were the configurations that I showed you back in that earlier table. I repeated those four times each, you know, four replications. They weren't randomized or anything. I don't know. I mean, you can randomize if you want, but it's not really going to help you in a machine, you know, configuration. It's not going to change anything. So I would just run all four, change my parameter, run the next four, and run the next four. Collected farm matter each time, weighed it. They were burr cotton, so before we could gin them, they were still full of a lot of trash. Hadn't been through a field clean. We ran through an extractor feeder first. Some of these samples were pretty small, so you imagine a 7-inch wide belt, and I was doing it for one row, so 40 inches long. So 7-inch wide, 1-inch deep, that sample was like a pound or two max. And so to actually gin it, I had to put it on a smaller gin, so we went to a 10-saw gin. So I just pulled sub-samples. If it was a large sample, I'd pull a 1.5-kilogram sub-sample, gin that. If it was a smaller sample, I'd gin the entire sample. So results, this is kind of a scattered graph, but I plotted all the data that I had on it that I collected percent removal from each run. And basically what I'm looking at here is the velocity versus farm matter removal divided by depth. So obviously I'm getting at a higher velocity, I'm generally getting a higher percentage of farm matter removal. And I normalized it based on sample weight, of course. I didn't, it's not just pound for pound. And my 0.5 depth and my 0.3 meter material depth there kind of removing the most. And it looks like they're doing a better job out there around the 1 to 1.5 meter per second range. Of course, when I get a deeper material depth, I'm staying down there and having a pretty low, around the 1% farm matter removal. And what I think that is you've got a deeper material bat. So if you got a thin one, of course, everything has an opportunity to shake out and get out of the bat that's moving across the material. If we got a deeper material bat there, the stuff that's at the top, it may shake down, but it's not going to make it all the way through when you're looking at an 80-inch long auger. So even in a machine, an 8-row machine, that stuff that's really thick, it's not going to shake out. So same thing, just looking at a different way grouped together. When you look at it this way on average, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of difference between them. This is looking at it from the width standpoint. Maybe the 0.36 meter width might look a little better. The 0.69 meter width might look a little better, but they're all around 2.5 to 3% farm matter removal. So width may not really be a factor. It may not matter how wide you go. Although I think depth's more of a factor. Lint turnout, no real difference. They're basically the exact same thing. Look at lint turnout again, just breaking it up by material flow rate. So the 0.6 gram kilograms per second are moving a lot faster. Even though they're moving faster, they had slightly lower lint turnouts. I don't know, really why that was, but there's not much of a difference between those when you really, break it down and look at it. Leaf trash, this is from fractionation. There's a little bit of difference statistically, but I don't think it's practically different. I figured I'd throw it out there because there were slight statistical differences, but not a whole lot. There's the untreated had slightly higher, the wider width had the lowest. So we're saying if it's wider, maybe it's letting more leaf trash fall out. Same thing here, but I broke it up, to see if the material flow rate had anything to do with it. And it slightly does, but nothing, that spectacular, nothing that big. So basically what it boils down to is they're not really having significant impacts on lint turnout, HVI, or APHIS results. So, I showed you two parameters there. I tested everything. I tested HVI and APHIS both. Well, neither one of the two of those had anything significant that was different. So, and there was no point in reporting them in the, wasting time reporting them here. Percent removal data, however, suggested optimal belt configuration with velocities ranging from 0.5 to 1.5 meters per second. And a width potentially ranging from 0.36 to 0.69 meters, and material depth less than 1 meter, or 0.1 meter, excuse me. So let's say, in general, use a wider belt, shallower material depth, and getting higher percentage of farm matter removal. And there's little to no effects on fiber quality, so I would say still look at shallower material depth on it. But that's basically the results I got from the auger and the wire belt conveyor. There was no difference in some of the fiber quality, which can be a really good thing. It means we're not really doing anything to fiber quality. It's staying the way it was, before I brought it in the machine. So I've tested all those against the previous sample, and there was no difference between the sample before it was treated on the belt or not. So like I said, that could be a very good thing on it. So I think I should have a couple minutes for questions.
We've got time for questions.
In about a minute. So.
I have a question.
All right.
Did you notice any, you lost any good fiber or seed cotton on that wire belt?
Very rarely. I think a couple of times I had a little bit of cotton that would go through. Most of the time it was not good cotton. It would be bowls that weren't fully open that were still, hard lock is not the term, I don't know what you call it, when your fiber is still compacted basically in the bowl. That's the... It is hard logged. Okay, so basically it would be fiber like that that was allowed to fall through. Once or twice, little pieces of fiber would get through and get entangled in the belt. They would come out fairly quickly, but the amount that pulled out was insignificant, I think, to what we normally see, when you're right. running a stripper through a field. It was, so.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
Was there ever any problem with plugging up any spaces on any of the gaps?
Not while I was running it. I tried, the one trouble that I did run into pretty quickly the first time I ever ran it, I guess I just didn't think about it. I thought it wasn't going to be an issue. But if you don't get that cotton out of the way, it'd be the same with anything. That's why the auger has the paddles on. If you don't get the cotton out of the way, it immediately sucks it back up in the belt. So, and we locked it down the first time I ever ran it. So, but you ideally, when it's on a machine, you've got a duct drawing the cotton away, and you can put a paddle system of some sort, just like they have now, to kick it out of the way. So, pretty insignificant fix. Any other questions?